Blog Talk Radio.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp there beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know nobody's fault. Don't know the reason, stayed here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo, but it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here I haven't a clue.
Girlfriend eyes. That's Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville. You stumbled onto A Team of Voices Radio. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the Man Cave. With me is my partner, Steven 76. How you doing, Steven?
Good. How you doing, man?
We survived another week, beating the pandemic and all everything else that wants us. You know, stay still very long. Let you hit up on Mr. Jimmy Buffett. Tonight is the $650 million man, Mr. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
You have a little background there for me?
I do have something here that our wonderful producer gave me to read. She's in the background there, resting her eyes. Love you, Dad. James William Buffett is an American singer-songwriter, musician, author, actor, and businessman. He's best known for his music, which often portrays an island escapism lifestyle. Together with his Coral Reefer band, Buffett has recorded hit songs including Margaritaville, the one we just listened to, which is ranked 234th on the Recording Industry Association of America's list of Songs of the Century. And Come Monday, and he has a devoted base of fans known as Parrotheads. I am myself. Aside from his career in music, Buffett is also a best-selling author and was involved in two restaurant chains named after his best-known songs. He currently owns the Margaritaville Cafe restaurant chain and co-developed a now-defunct Cheeseburger in Paradise restaurant chain, which I never got a chance
defunct.
To eat. Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Buffett is one of the world's richest musicians. Yeah, with a net worth, you said, of $650 million. Which was one of my favorite songs by him, is a song written and performed. It was first released in 1974 on the album A1A, and I've been on that road. The presence to see the is the B side of the single. But actually wrote this song about a guy named Philip Clark at the Chart Room, where Buffett first performed after his move to Key West, Florida. The song contains a bittersweet confession of a modern day washed up drug smuggler. As he looks back on the first 40 years of his life, expresses lament that his preferred vocation of piracy on the high seas was long gone by the time he was born. He ponders his future. Says here that for radio play, the song was shortened by deleting the fourth verse for the single release. And the song is one of Buffett's more popular and is part of the Big Eight that he has played at almost all of his concerts. Yeah. Always fun to go to his concerts, too. If you've never been, got to hit one up before he stops touring. Because he just brings
really?
Energy to the stage. Yeah, it's like you're at a party. It really is.
Yeah, probably more so than anybody else, seems like. Just, hey, man, it's all good.
Okay.
Hey,
yeah.
So a parrot head. You got to go get one of them, one of those stuffed put on your shoulder, walk around, or got a hat or something?
Hats, I never went over the top, but I did. I used to have an ear, my ear pierced, and I did have a parrot earring, and the parrot itself was about 3 inches long.
Oh, there
so
you
it was,
go.
It was
really?
Pretty
that devotion there, man. I can imagine, you know, everybody else has got hats and T-shirts and Buffett fans and Buffites has got actual parrots glued to their shoulder. bitch taking a shower with them, yeah. Today is National Road Trip Day. So if you're thinking about it, might be a good time to hit the road. Also National Hamburger Day, Brisket Day, and Don't Fry Day. So Don't Fry Day. That's pretty cool. Barbecue. Hi, Kay. Is Kay my Mrs. Nemesis? How are you?
All right, how are you?
And I think we have, is it Frank on the line?
No.
No?
Not.
I was guessing.
How are you guys?
So that.
Sky.
Because I consider myself the richest man in the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that started so weird when I. All I could think of was the intro, and Steven. Crazy Train at the beginning of it. They do that little right?
Yeah.
I sent the link to the song, and I sent it to her just to say this is how it started, why I started echoing with you. And she I go, did you get this? Did you get the link that I sent? She goes, oh yeah, nice song. Well, no, just the intro.
at least I remembered who you were, Hatter.
Oh, zing! Yeah, zing! Yeah.
You ain't gonna live in that.
Guilty. I met a lot of poets real fast in that contest. It lasted about a year. Never do that again. It was fun though where I was going.
I could thank Sky because I still remember what Sky's reply to me the first time I ever invited her to one of our shows was.
Oh. What was it?
Do you really want to know?
I don't know. Well, I know, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, apparently you thought I was hitting. Apparently you thought I was hitting on you because you said, "I'm a lesbian."
No, I'm a lesbian.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, you did. And I said, "Okay, do you want to come to the show?"
You can see the lesbian section.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of weird people that send me messages. And so I just like totally like right up front, like don't like, this is not like they send me like really, maybe you just got caught in the crossfire. Sometimes there are guys that send very, a lot of times I just end up just blocking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I do apologize if you got in the crossfire with that.
It's all right. At the time, we honestly barely knew each other. I had only written for a couple of your show contests at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think we really chatted too much at the time, so.
I think you got caught in the crossfire. Sorry, Steven. I just like to be really upfront with people and be like, no.
I think I would show Kay. I said, look at this. Well, we understand how that works, believe me. Yeah.
I know. I just...
You said you don't have
like, what happens is these people that have never talked to you, never have commented on a poem, nothing, they message you like, the picture's really beautiful. I'm like, thank you, bye.
Okay. Sorry, I had to leave the front desk for a second. Okay.
Yes.
The front desk. Look at Carlton. He's sure having some fun.
Can everybody hear and hear me okay? Am I coming in okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Good. Jimmy Buffett. How old is he? Did it say?
Oh my gosh, let me look that up. He's too old. I don't think I want to know how old he is.
He's in his mid 70s.
Oh, okay.
It's so sad.
I know. If you figure he's in his 70s,
it's not fair that these people are getting older.
And he's still rocking.
It's like when Kay found me in the fetal position on the deck clutching the art magazine because it had Springsteen's picture on it. No!
I give you CPR. I'll bring it back to life.
Yeah.
We'll sit in Meadows and call it. Okay.
Jimmy Buffett was born on Christmas Day in 1946, making 74 years old.
74.
Yeah.
He was just a Christmas blessing, wasn't he? Just a bubble of joy. But you wouldn't that suck? I mean, not sharing Christ's birthday, that's all good. That's all good. But wouldn't it be present-wise?
No.
I mean, my youngest son was born the 30th of December. I said, you couldn't hold on one more day, huh? Or else she was in labor. She was in labor for like 36 hours or something.
It was time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was bad. At one time, I was on my year probation with the fire department, which means you do anything wrong, they don't have to have a reason to let you go. So you got to be top of your game, right? So going through that stress, doing the extra, my oldest son, appendix bursts. So he goes in the hospital. My wife had delivered 2 days earlier, but my youngest son had to go back under the lights for the precaution. And when she went home to get stuffed, packed stuff, she fell down the stairs and shattered her ankle.
Oh.
And she went to the hospital. So I had my whole family was in the. They actually put them all on the same floor to make for convenience. I had my whole family in the hospital at the same time.
Wow.
No stress. No stress there.
No. Not at all.
Well. You want to hear Still Going Strong? Still Going Strong story, Hatter. If this guy can do it, you can do it, right? Frankie Valli is 87 years old and still touring. I've seen him a couple years ago. Yeah.
Frankie Valli, wow.
87 and still touring. And when I went to go see him, he wasn't 87 because I've seen him like 3 years ago, so... He was 3 years less than 87, but he would still hit a lot of the high notes. He'd be like, shit, you know, in the song Sherry, he would hit them. He wasn't lasting as long as everybody else, but he would hit all those high notes. It was really amazing. I was like, oh my God. My mom was so happy.
You know,
he had never been to a concert.
Neil Diamond too. He can't hit them notes no more.
No, but he could. He can hit them. He did hit them. He just didn't hit every one of them. But like you could tell he was tiring out of them. But he did hit them. It was amazing. I was like, oh my God. But I just looked too. He's still touring. 87, still touring. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Hey, Jose Feliciano, 75.
Should he?
Yeah, yeah.
Kate, I would love to see Depeche Mode, and they stopped touring. They're not nearly as old as Frankie Valli, so Frankie, I've got to give them a call and say, hey, get your asses in gear.
Should we? I'm going to call them. We were going to call the White House. Let's call the White House to talk to Biden.
All right.
Yeah. Trump would take our calls, but Biden, he's not going to take our calls. Who the hell
is he? He's in a state of emergency. Depeche Mode.
I was younger. I take you behind the gym. Okay. Jose Feliciano, I love the guy. He's got the best version of Light My Fire, I think, of anybody.
Oh, interesting.
From the
door. He did that on Ed Sullivan. I think he did it on Ed Sullivan's show the first time. It's remarkable with the blind musicians, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Jose Feliciano, Canadian guy, Jeff Healy.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Healy.
Yeah. I always thought it would be a drag being in his band because those guys would be pitch perfect. You're off.
<Yeah.
laughs> All right, Willie Nelson, 87, still touring and recording.
Wow.
And
Cody
Bennett, 94.
94.
Kirk Douglas.
Still touring and recording.
Was it?
How about Robert Goulet?
I think it was. It was 100. Kirk Douglas, I think, died just last year. He was 103.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. I mean, wasn't he Spartacus? He lived a long life. He knew Jesus.
What's
that?
Because one that really surprised the hell out of me was, I got to look her up now. Because we're doing The Most Dangerous Game. And the movie starred Faye Ray.
Yeah.
And she died in 2004.
How old was she?
No kidding.
Yeah, she was born in 1907.
Oh.
I didn't know that she was still alive in the 2000s.
Oh. So is that 103 or is that 97?
97 years. She had almost made 100. Wow. Yeah, but geez, I didn't even know she was still. I'd always assumed that she was dead. But yeah, like I told Kate, you know, back in the day, she was definitely one sexy beast.
Yeah, yeah. you know, where I was living up at the lake, in the lake community with the rich people, the lady that I took care of the property and enjoyed, my roommate, she was the caretaker for the lady. Bridget Ayers was her name. She was a lovely lady. She died at 102, I think. But we celebrated her late 90s with her. And this lady was most remarkable. She was the only female in occupied France after the war. But the war began is before the United States got involved or declared war. But she walked into a general's office, sat down at a desk, and says, "I'm here." And it was a long time before they figured out who the hell she was. But she became a general's assistant, and by the time she was already behind the lines, so nobody came to get the women because all the women and everything were already shipped out of France to England because the Germans had taken over. So this lady was 102. She was 99 when we were still up there, and she was smart. I mean, she was as sharp as a tack. She could tell the story, the dates, who she met, what generals. She lived through two world wars. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have radios back then. And horse trade. They didn't have cars. Industrial Revolution. Lady saw a lot. One of my most memorable people, Bridget Ayers. God rest her soul.
One can only hope to be that sharp when they get that age. One can only hope to reach that
age. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Her husband, the Colonel, Colonel Ayers, Air Force, Army. She was Army. He was one of Patton's liaisons. He handled the logistics for the occupied American occupation in Europe. So he was sort of an important guy.
Right.
So I don't know how I got off on that. But I did. So has everybody got their shots? What shot did you get?
I had a shot of Telemordu.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Hennessy. A shot of Hennessy earlier. I was shopping around.
I got a message from Deb telling you to refresh the studio because she added some sound clouds that people dropped on the top of the studio.
Refresh the studio. Will do. Thank you, Deb. Let me see if I can find it. Now, okay. And up here, refresh.
No.
Always scary when you do that.
Yeah. Sometimes you're worried you're going to boot yourself, right?
Yeah, I got last. Yeah. I do. I don't know if it was my phone or the connection, but lately, last night was bad. I got bumped 3 different times at least. And the last one was an overtime. Deb had to call me from the station to get me back. Saved my life. Read a poem. So, Cleveland. What did I hear about Cleveland, Ohio lately in sports? You guys going to have a badass team in football this year, or what's going on?
There's some people picking the Browns to go to the Super Bowl this year, but I don't want to count those chickens.
That'd be a nice
one. Oh, man. ballsy statement.
Yeah.
And I know there was this guy that he's supposed to be a farmer or something. He was a 49er fan. He would go up to the state line, Harris in Tahoe, and put down like $250,000 on one bet. He was this kind of guy. But he, in 81, had picked the 49ers. He put $100 on the Niners to take it all. To win the division. Because you can't, I guess you could make a bet for the Super Bowl, but he just bet to win the division. And what it is if you win that, you can carry over into the wild card or the playoffs without being punished for cashing in. They're saying you're betting with the casinos on the game. So you can let it ride is what I'm trying to say. And this guy hit it. He had somebody at $100 the time that he bet for the Niners to win. By the time his decision was take $250,000 or let it ride on the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I don't know this for a fact, I believe he let it ride and won whatever. The one was like he was going to win $4 million or something.
Yeah.
For a $100 investment the year. But he made the bet the year before, which gives you better odds by the time the draft and the end of the spring training and the injured reserve list and this kind of stuff could knock you down. So you make it the year before, you get better odds usually. And I guess he did. Farmer Jones.
Yeah.
It was a big deal when he came to town, I guess. He'd go up, he'd lay $200,000 on one bet at blackjack. But he had to have all the officials there to do it. It was fun. Nobody to answer to. Nobody in your wallet. You can do what you want. And the reason I say that, I'm going to share this. I haven't shared this with many people. The first time I ever went to Las Vegas, my wife and I, my lovely wife, we went and accompanied my little brother and his wife on sort of like a second extension of their honeymoon. They had some things to do in Vegas that invited us down. So we went along. We get off the airplane, on the strip. We walk into the Luxor to get something to eat while they're window shopping through the little troughs they have in there. I went down where there was two little step levels where there's nobody and took this big machine and I put three silver dollars in there and then three more silver dollars and boom, this thing lit up. I couldn't even figure out how much money I'd won. It filled the tray with silver dollars and then it kept ringing. So this lady had to come over and my little brother came down and was like, I won $800.
Wow.
And my lovely wife decided she'd make underwear money out of it because I didn't see the freaking dollar on that rest of the trip. Like it was, and she wouldn't tell me what it was for. The next Christmas, this was like in the springtime, I think, is when we went. And then the next Christmas, I'm standing behind her. She has an arm there, and she's talking about the dress she bought in Vegas. Oh, I went. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I should contact her and give that money back. No. That's the only reason I brought up for Vegas thing is when you go to Vegas, you just don't win the first 5 minutes you're there.
Yeah. Kay knows that. She did that once.
What I do once.
When you hit big on the slots.
Oh, yeah.
Before we got there to one day, you hit really early.
Yeah.
Hit big on the slots. But the way we do things, we left with that money, so we were good.
Yeah.
There
we went in with 15, walked out with over $100.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
Yep.
I had one of those at Thunder Valley here, it's the Indian reservation near Sacramento. And they were having a drawing for an SUV. We weren't there for that. We just happened to be there at the time. I'm at the end row and I hit a Progressive, which was paying $1,200 at that time, $1,200 and something dollars. So it's just enough that I got to sit there and wait for the lady to come down and with the forms and everything. Well, I have the lady I'm with sit there while I go down to the other end. Before the lady's done signing it up, I hit another $1,200. Okay, so now I'm waiting down here as she signs for the other release of the money or whatever that form is you fill out, tax form. She comes in, she goes, I think they're calling your name. So I go over there, I walk up the aisle, and as soon as they were ready to pass me up, I was the fifth name called to win this SUV. And just being named to come up on stage, you got $1,000 guaranteed. Well, the third guy, and you pick colored ping pong ball out of my hat. Well, the third guy picked it, so I was number five. So I didn't get to pick it, but I got another $1,000. So within about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, I had to hit $1,200, $1,200, and $1,000. Took that money, did the same thing. Packed it up, went to the fries, got electronics, a new laptop, new camera. It still had a lot of money when I got home. Good day.
Yeah. I think, Sky, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah. You got to run. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, I just put Sky's.
4-3-4. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Daniel.
Hi.
Is that Brandy?
Yes,
Brandy. What a good wife you'd be, Brandy.
Oh, you know me. Got to sit still for a while still.
How's the magnolias this year?
Oh, baby, they always in bloom. But
when I first met Brandy, I would have her repeat the, I guess it's a line in the Under the Wind. What's the magnolias?
Yeah.
Blooming this year or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We need rain.
You need rain?
We need rain.
We don't rain here. So
here it's windy
hard.
In Ohio.
Windy and rain.
Oh, yeah. We had our share.
Mm-hmm. We'll send some down to you, Brandy.
Yeah.
Well, we're already in the 90s out here at 90 degrees today.
That's too hot.
Just a few days ago, we had the air conditioner running. Today, we got the heater running.
Yeah.
Ohio gets just crazy.
Yeah.
It always
is. You get weird weather up the lakes up there, don't you? I was up in Rochester for a month. Oh man, that weather can change. But
yeah.
On the lake, they're right on the lake, southern tip of Lake Ontario. I mean, that weather changed within 15 minutes from taking your shirt off to go in and get a freaking.
Yeah, very good.
Pretty cold.
Yeah.
It was weird. Beautiful state.
I think we should have Sky read her poem for us because I know she's going to get going.
Sky, okay. You want to read your poem for us, please?
All right, I did. I couldn't find that poem, Stephen. I'm sorry. That's why I shouldn't delete. I do apologize. I definitely will find it sometime. I know you hate me. But I do have this one, and I thought it fit to I listened to the song and what is that song? The Stars. I listened to two songs that Stars Fell on Alabama. I don't know if you know that one, but I thought it fit quite well to that. And then I also was listening to the Monday song. What is the title of that?
Come Monday.
Monday.
And I did learn a couple things, that video that Jimmy Buffett had no money. And so basically he shot the video himself and he just had his girlfriend in it and his own truck in it. And it was just really them doing the video because they didn't have any money to do it. I thought that was really interesting. This one I thought fit well. It's a more lyrical piece. It's a little choppy, I'm not going to lie. It's an old one.
So this is called Orchard Bloom and Bella Ballara Perfume. Can you hear the music on the edges of my smile as I write poetic lyrics on each patch of skin? Fingers looped and falling curls, a coy stare that lingers somewhere deep within. And on mine you draw the notes and frets, catching those phonetics in a duvet of duvet, a strum of hummed guitar, laughing tender. And there resting under that Carolina blue are sunsets of jade meadows, flecks of amber, that rise each morning, whisper I love you. Parked by the cider press, autumn folds us within her breast, curled in an old 52 Chevy, with sweet smells of orchard bloom, the lingering taste of Bella Ballara perfume. Can you hear music on the edges of my smile as I write poetic lyrics on each patch of skin? No, it's not raining, but notes still seem to play, the stars in your eyes reflecting mine gray. Here, resting under this Carolina blue, sunsets of jade meadows, flecks of ember that arise each morning, whisper, I love you. And poem.
It's too shady.
This one's guy was young and love. Oh, my God. Not really young love.
You aren't lying, though. That's for sure. This is very lyrical. I like it. It's also very romantic. Giving Frank a run for his money as the king of romance.
I'm looking
There's
at the picture.
Around this year, there was a lot of romance. And then there was... And then a couple of years later, there was a lot of anger.
So. It kind of runs that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen.
Right. I'm trying to think of something witty to say. That's going to be wrong, so maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Mush, mush.
I'm stuck on the picture. Okay. just saying. old 52 Chevy with the sweet smells of the orchard blooms. Oh, there was something. What is it? I always have a question because I'm duvet of duet.
A duvet of duet.
Duvet. Yeah,
so a blanket
duvet.
Of duet. It's like a metaphor. It's like a abstract metaphor. Duvet of duvet, like a blanket of music. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
So, you know, I would, if that was me, I'd have to go searching for something. I wouldn't know a clue to do that. it's like, you know, you got to watch the big words if I'm going to read your stuff. I don't know. I admit it. Ever since I can't say that.
What?
No, the word of the day.
Well, I was just my brain. So I used to be able to debate. I could probably speak better than I can now, quite a bit. So since my last time they did went into my brain to do some adjustments, I guess. my brain works too faster than my mouth, so I can't. It's not so fast. It's frustrating sometimes, and I know it is for other people too, so I've got to explain, you know, I'm brain damaged, be gentle. Well, no, not really.
Did you want to get, I don't know, Brandy wanted to say something other than mushy mushy?
Yeah, man.
Mush mush. Hey, I swing both ways on the tree, so it don't matter to me.
It don't matter to me.
That's what I think it's too much. It matter to me.
But seriously, I love, you know, do you know how you see around here, especially in the South,
there's a little gold ring where on
Chevy.
My head.
Much less an antique car because people try to hog them. And, you know, whatever. you get to see the old, the original, the A model cars and all this stuff. I can't think of the name of it, save my life. But you see the 54s and the 49s,
oh, yeah.
You know, and all the A model, you know, whatever. And people don't bring them out unless it's sunny and warm. They don't. You have to catch them dead before they bring them out in crazy weather, which is.
Oh, okay. You
obvious.
Mean like the Model A's and the Model T's in the coupes? Yeah. Yeah, we have the get together where they once or twice a year the
car
bordering towns where they they'll break them out. You see them all heading into one of the small towns for a show. All those tour cars.
We have them every year.
Tour cars. Yeah, there you go.
We have them every year, and everybody comes here. You know, they change the city every year, and they go, you know, shows whose baby is the best and all this stuff. But my thing is, why mess up an antique by adding all the hydraulics to it? You just screw yourself over.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm here. You have to anticipate that going on because they can cause on one of the, like 49 is the mother load, a gold highway. Gold highway that runs along the American River. And you get those cars on there, you're going to be a while. So, you know, you got to sort of plan where they're going to be and don't get mad because they're going to go 25 out of 45.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's fine.
But you know, I love the phrase Carolina blue. You know, flecks of amber. You know, I freaking love that. I love those metaphor frames of color. Keep it up, Sky.
Yeah, you know, sky, pretty bird, and hope, and K, are tremendous at the metaphors, putting the metaphors together. K likes to make me run for the thesaurus and my, trying to figure out the metaphors, which is her showing off, which is all good. It's all good. Mrs. Nemesis.
Yes.
Always,
it's the only
always
place
welcome
I'm comfortable
there.
With metaphors.
Hide the metaphors.
That way I can express myself.
We have Sky. Plug your next show, Sky.
I'd love to. Okay. I need the thing for this because it's a lot. I will give you a little history while I do a little inside peek of my world that I don't normally. The first time that, I don't even know how to say that, but the person that is about, their duvet was a Carolina blue color. So there's a lot of personal aspects of that piece, but thank you. This is Storyboards Presents Dungeons and Dragons. Very excited about this. Saturday night, which is tomorrow at 8 p.m. over at Poetic Slice of Life. And just to give you a little overview, each month on Storyboards, we will be exploring the world of D&D. If you don't know what D&D is, it's a structured yet fundamentally open-ended role-playing game. It is normally played indoors with participants seated around a tabletop. And typically, one player takes the role of the dungeon master while others play a character. So what will we be doing? We will be learning how to build characters to be able to venture into this venue. The first one... it's going to be pretty cool, Hatter. The first one, because a lot of people don't know too much about D&D, I have a generator app. You just go to the topic board, click to the generator site, and it will make up a whole character for you. You don't have to do any work. It'll give you a name. It'll give you a class and a race and the background and all the information. All you need to do is take all that information or whatever information you want. You could always substitute information if you really feel strongly about it and make a poem about it. And that is just a little sneak peek of what the end result is. And each month we'll be going into smaller depths and discovering the world of D&D, hopefully eventually making our own characters. Of course, if you are a longtime D&D player and you want to bring in one of your own characters at this time, you are more than welcome to. So I'm very excited about it. We've been waiting for a very long time to bring this out. If anybody has any questions, ask Stephen or I.
I got a question. Do you have any control? Do you put input in to your creator machine to figure out? I mean, could it give you a female character? I mean, would they have to go on male?
You can keep clicking generate if you want, and then you can also generate certain aspects. So if you know the game a little bit, but you don't want to take the time to make a new character, you can actually generate just certain plots. And then you can
You don't like it, you can start over or get another one.
You can start over, you can just generate as many times as you want till you find one you like. Or you can generate certain sections, and there's a little lock feature. You can actually lock one feature if you like it and keep generating it until you kind of get what you want.
Are these actual characters, or are they...
They're just made-up characters by a generator,
And
you can improvise, of course, if you feel strongly about something. I'm just looking for character rights. So, and to give you guys an idea... of what the end result is going to look like, we're going to be doing it once a month. So the next show will be starting on just races. So we'll just be talking about four different races, and then we'll do a few of those to learn the basics. So,
That's over my head, but okay, I'll just be listening in.
If you're a storyteller, which I think most of us are, that's really the basis of what I'm looking for. I'm basically asking you to tell me a story about a character. That's really it. There's lots of other elements into it, but that's really what it is. I'm looking for you to tell me a story about a character that you learned about, or that you made up. Steven's going to bring, I think his name is Argo. It's a character that he's worked on for himself, that he made up himself. So I opted out of bringing any of my own characters just so that I can give an example of what I'm looking for. So my write's already up there. And Wayne did a really good job too. So Wayne's write is already up there. He did pretty good. And I know that Rack is going to be up there soon. So those guys did a really good job. So if you want to
get your character, when it gives you your character, the biography or the description look like? Is it one paragraph of powers or an example of what that might read out?
It gives you your flaws, your traits, and you can take what you want and leave what you don't. You know, it tells you, like my character, she whispers sometimes. Her flaw is rage. So when I wrote the poem, I made sure I put something about rage. It gives you something that you have in your pocket. So my character had buttons that I carried in my pocket. So I kind of brought that into the poem. It's just how creative you want to go, really, or what you want to do with it. If you want to talk in third person or first person, however you want to do it, yeah.
So that just determines how in-depth
It's all up to you. So if you want to wash it over a little bit and take bits and pieces and then say, hey, I was an elf, I was a druid, I did some magic, and this is my piece, but I took that and I washed over the rest. That's totally cool, as long as you understand the basis of it. And that's really what this exercise is for. So you get to see a character already made. You know, I don't want anybody to be unhappy about their rights. So it's just how creative you want to go with it.
Be grumpy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, and that'll be interesting to me.
The great thing about this is that you don't need to know all the rules yet, because you're just writing me a story about a character, really.
You're the badass person.
Yeah. There are some badass pitches. Wayne was like this crazy barbarian or something. I don't know, he's crazy.
You get to pick your own name, or is the name generated?
One,
is it Is the name generated with the character, or do you get to choose
yep,
a name?
Yes, the name is generated. And if you don't like the name, you can alter it a bit. I altered mine. I added one letter. Mine was like, what was mine? Mine was, it was Aira, and, or Ara, and I changed it to Aethra because I wanted to put a T in there, and so I changed it to Aethra instead of
A-Rod. Should have been A-Rod.
Yeah, I wanted Aethra. I wanted Aethra, so that's where I went with.
Okay. Cool. That sounds great. And we find that on the topic page, the show page at a piece of life, a poetic life.
Poetic life of life. Yep. And it's going to be recurring every month. So if if you like it, then we're going to be doing one once a month on storyboards.
And we get to take these characters to battle at some point.
At some point, I wish you guys that you guys are eventually going to make your own characters, and I am figuring out a way to make a storyline myself, so it'll all be original work. For now, you'll just be learning. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll be learning for a
baby
while.
Step.
It'll be a while.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pushing that button. Interesting. Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have spent my whole life that went by me, and I knew nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, which was it was popular in the 90s, was it?
Popular in the
80s. It was popular around my friends, but I don't know if it was. I don't know how popular I think a lot of people I knew never knew it, but my friends. That I hung out with were very into it. Like we would have parties and do like when I say parties I don't mean party I mean like we would do a party and do a campaign and then my friends would come over to our house and we would all sit around the table and play it once a week. So it was like we'd play it in person. Yeah.
They show up in costume.
No. But they did show up with snacks.
Okay, we did act
out our characters. We did act out our characters sometimes. So, but we did not do. We did have props though, but like papers and like guides and maps and stuff. We took some time to do that. I like to do calligraphy, so I was always the letter writer. So.
You do calligraphy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you. Sorry I took so much time. We got started talking about it. All right. Well, I hope you have a nice night. Glad I got to go into the man cave.
Bye, Sky. Yeah. I'm going to do a birthday for you.
Bye, Sky. Thanks for stopping by. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. But we
You broke up a little bit.
I'm here. Everybody there?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you fine, Brandy. Steven, you broke up badly. I couldn't hear what you said.
I read Steven's poem for my show, and I just died.
Yep.
My head, are we good?
Oh, shoot. Yep. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up bad. Can you hear me? Is Steven okay?
I'm sorry.
Can you not hear me?
You can hear Steven?
I don't know.
Yeah, I hear him.
Okay, I you're breaking up badly. I can't understand what Steven's saying. So it's me. That's the problem here. Oh, wow. Okay.
The house phone.
If I put my headphones on, I can hear better, but you guys, I think it causes more interference. I might try it, though, just so I can hear my co-host.
Is that better?
I looked up, I read on the internet today, so it's got to be true, right? You remember the alien autopsy? for the 1947 film. They're selling a framed of it. You can buy a frame of the 1947 Alien Autopsy. It's going to the auction, and the has a new opening bid of $1 million.
Wow.
So if you're in the market for a frame of the Alien Autopsy footage, it's out there. $1 million. Can you imagine that?
No.
whoever buys it should be scolded severely and say, you know, you have better things to do for that $1 million than buy it.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay, also the U.S. Naval Department has released the Tic Tac. Have you seen these videos of the UFOs with the fighter jets being outrun, outmaneuvered, leaving the pilots in awe of what the thing is doing? The Tic Tac?
Yeah.
They look like little Tic Tacs doing some crazy stuff in our atmosphere. I think they were in Tomcats, F-15s, F-16s, leaving them behind. I mean, these things were dancing around these fighters, could have had their will with them, going in and out of the water, the ocean. It was tracked by land. It was tracked by an aircraft carrier. It was tracked by a submarine. It was tracked by the fighter plane. So it wasn't no glitch on the screens. I mean, it makes me feel like contact is nearing, huh? What's going to happen if they finally park that ship and could get out and want to talk to somebody, get a news for them? What's going to happen? People going to freak out or what?
Oh yeah.
I mean, think about the degree of. I mean, it could go over passe because we've all been sort of desensitized to the fact that there might be aliens in our atmosphere or stepping through time doors or traveling light years away. You know, which I think is very unlikely to travel a million light years from one to another to find life, but. They are there. UFOs are real because they are unidentified. There's too much evidence to say that they're not. The biggest fear back in the day was it would shake the foundation of our beliefs of who we are. Well, I don't think that's true anymore. I think we already don't know who we are. We're pretty satisfied with that. The breakdown of religious churches or whatever beliefs, I don't see that happening either. But that's what they used to say would collapse. I don't see how, one way or another, contact with a Tic Tac being is going to change our lives much. Can you think of anything else that might happen? The media make it into a war of the worlds where people freaked out about a radio show?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, if you look at, what was it? Star Trek First Contact.
Yeah.
I mean, everything seemed to be just like, hey, how you doing kind of thing, you know, when they landed and showed themselves. So it could be that way. I don't know. I just hope it wouldn't be like
Independence Day.
We grab a hold of them and cut them open and say, yeah. Then wonder why they're firing at us, you know, that kind of
thing. If it's Independence Day, that'd be bad enough. But what if it's the Men in Black?
And what if it's They Live? What if they're already here, running the show?
Oh, Steven, they are, you know that.
Yeah, I know.
So I read it on the internet. That'd be true. I can't. They'd come get you for lying about that, right? Of course. there's so many avenues. Do you know who George Bell is? I think his name is George Bell. He does the late night show out of, I don't know if it's Las Vegas, but he quit a high-paying job one night when he saw and witnessed a UFO. He quit his job, and now he dedicates his life to interviewing people like Bob Lazar. You know who Bob Lazar is? Bob Lazar is the guy that went national with, said that he worked at Area 51 and was part of a reverse engineering of alien technology. It's a real complicated, very interesting story. Bob Lazar's story has not changed in 40 years. Usually, one phase or another, or part of a story, if somebody's lying or making something up, will be enhanced and it will change, morph into something else. Bob Lazar's has not. He's just stuck with this story. He did work for the naval departments and some aspect to reverse engineer, and what he saw is most remarkable. You can go a good if you have it. You can go to the blogcast by what's the guy he's got the number one blogcast of the radio show in the country right now. He's the announcer for the MMA. Joe Rogan. He interviews Bob Lazar a couple of times, and there are a couple other guys there's an ex-colonel, a full-bird colonel, that did investigations. He used to sit up on those hills with the telescopic cameras before the military took them away, too. Now there's no place you can sit and see any part of the base. The only thing you could see is from satellite now. But back in the day, you could park yourself on one of the hills, and they wouldn't know you were there, but eventually they would. They found that they. I guess the whole desert out there is marked with sensors and movement sensors, sound sensors. Yeah, you can't. The jackrabbit doesn't move near Area 51 without them knowing about it now. But it's very interesting to hear these guys talk about back in the day when they, for example, when Bob Lazar worked at Area 51. And what he saw and the stories that had been proven, there's some things that they denied that Bob Lazar reported, and Bob Lazar was right. So little by little, what they did to Bob Lazar, tried to shut him up, saying he was crazy, he's non-credible. All of a sudden, Bob Lazar is back into the story because some of the bizarre things he was saying are true, and they have been backed up by other personnel. So it's an interesting story. George Bell is one of the radio stations, late night radio station, that does the paranormal. Does anything from skinwalkers to aliens visiting our planet. Very interesting guy. I think we should have a section in our man cave. We'd go over and visit. We'll cut out newspaper clippings and hang them on the wall right over here. Read them every week or every month. What should we call it? Am I the only one here right now?
No, we're here. I'm here. I'm listening to Summer Nights right now on YouTube. I got my headphones on one ear and the phone in the other. I just listen to y'all talking and playing music at the same time.
that's the first sign.
It's really good. Y'all should listen to it.
But we're gonna
one here. That's like the chickens.
Yeah.
That's like chickens. They never sleep. They sleep half the brain sleeps at a time. The other half, the one eye will stay open while the other part of the brain sleeps.
Well,
that's
what you're doing, Dan.
I
will say this song got a good beat to it. Y'all should really listen to it.
Well, yeah, I wanted to mention that to Hannah. We've got 3 poems that we got to get through. We got 55 minutes left, so why don't we crank them out? And I put Boot Hose on the board, and there is a SoundCloud in the studio that you can look for.
Okay,
it's gonna
I'm in the studio. Who's it by?
Boot Ho.
Who's it by?
So it should say Boot? Zero Boot Ho 4.
Okay.
With Lady A.
Let it freaking reboot here. Come on. Okay.
So it should be right at the top.
Yeah. Okay. I got okay. Nightmares. Okay, the changes of narrative. Yeah, I'll say, you know, okay, I'm waiting for my scroll feature to work here. I feel crippled. So, Lawrence, Stephen, Lawrence out of Clemson, did he go pro 1 year early? Wasn't he a junior or was he a senior this year? Quarterback, Clemson.
I honestly, you know what? I didn't even pay attention to the draft.
Oh. Okay.
I just had other things going on.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Trevor Lawrence. He took Clemson to the big dance when he was a freshman. Okay. I'm looking at the top of the man cave. I see Morris Nightmares, Cave Gypsies. It's under Budo? Budo?
Yeah, okay. It should be.
Summer Night is Budo and Lady A.
Summer Night. How about me? I heard Hank Williams playing to that track. Is that right? Or he's singing in the background there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Who knows?
That song can grow on you, man. That song can grow on you a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff.
And Budho did the music and sang it. So yeah, this is just I think that's really cool. I like the chorus.
I think it's better each time I hear it.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard it.
Yeah. Really cool.
See, that's the problem. I could never do song lyrics.
It definitely has a hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. Okay, get the studio. Nobody's waiting. Get back. Yeah, were you saying something, Stephen? I'm sorry.
Well, I just said the only time I ever wrote any song lyrics, Kay and I collabed. I've never tried to do it myself. We just...
Yeah.
We collaborated once on one. That's it. That's the only time we ever did it.
I have no desire to write music. I just want to write my way.
What did she say?
I just want to write the way that I want to. I have no desire to write music. I have no desire to do a lot of things except to do it my way without anybody trying to steal me.
Yeah, but any poem can be considered lyrics. Come on now.
No, I'm good.
No. You know, that's what I wanted to do. When I had to, the traumatic hand injury to where I had to put the market car down, boo-hoo. And realized that the keyboards, even though I had a lot of fun with the right-handed playing the lead, following it was a lot of fun. You do need your left hand. It's each finger to work independently, and that doesn't happen. So I had to quit that. So I decided, you know, I will write songs. That's how I became. You got to be a good poet. I don't care if you're a headbanging, hard rock headbanging, screaming in it. They're all poets, ladies and gentlemen. They're usually rhyming poets.
Yeah.
Every one of them. Everybody from Lennon to Bobby Goldsboro to Johnny Cash to Big Bird. You know, they're writing songs.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And I was happy, and I did. And I did write one.
Yes, you did.
I was cursed because I ran into a guy that knew Ronnie Montrose's studio manager and handled the studio in Eldorado Hills, California, is where Ronnie Montrose is. And he said, Kerry was a drummer, lead singer, and an ex-Marine. He read some of my stuff, and he goes, this guy owes me $500 worth of studio time. Let's go up and play with the music, the instruments, and we'll make a day of it. So, fine. The next couple of weeks, he's trying to find Sam, was his name, I believe. He's trying to find Sam, and during that time, Ronnie Montrose dies. And the studio goes away, and Kerry didn't ever get up with him. So it was like, I figured that was my chance, and I just flew out the window. Little did I know I was going to run into Shout Even Shy, who was gracious enough to make a song out of one of mine. And she did an outstanding job. I hear everybody knows the words. Is that right, ladies? No?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. Let's just say it's not rainbows. There's no rainbows in the song. It's rainstorms. Just to get that out of the way. No rainbows.
Okay. No rainbows.
But it's the mark of a good classic rock song is the fact that it's misinterpreted when it comes to the lyrics. Because
that's why.
One of the greatest Rolling Stones songs I still think that they're saying, "Hey, you get off of my plow."
Yeah, I think there's a bathroom on the right. There's a bathroom on the right. Bad News Rises.
Yeah.
That was really good. Or let me excuse me while I kiss this guy. Kiss this guy. Even when you say it normally or
yep.
this, how's the saying? Like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, one time I have heard a live performance of it where he does actually say that, where he says, "Excuse me while I kiss that guy." So he was making
sure.
fun of his own lyric. Yeah, he did it
it's
himself
like
a, too.
Yeah. What was it?
Give him the beat in my soul.
The guy did the remake of Money Money. Not Brian Adams, but he goes spank the pony, money, spank. There's a ton of different things he could be saying, and I think he does. Who's the artist that does white red wedding? God darn it.
He's talking about Billy Idol.
Yeah. Billy Idol, thank you. Yeah, he did the remake of Money Money, and because when he's through the chorus lines towards the end of the song, he goes, "Money Money," and so spank the pony, alimony. There's a whole slew of different things that I guess he does say some of them.
Tommy James.
Tommy James and Sean Dell's song, yeah. Money. Excellent. Yeah, so it's got the markings of a great classic song to go down in history as one of the most misunderstood lyrics of all time, huh? That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It's rainstorms. Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Yes, indeed. I put Pretty Bird's poem on the board, and there's a SoundCloud in the studio for that as well.
I'm not Pretty Bird. Okay.
And that should be up there near the thing too somewhere.
Oh, is it a poem or is it a SoundCloud?
And there's a SoundCloud in the studio. It's
you got it already.
Pretty Bird.
Look at you guys. Okay. But how are you gonna? I gotta hit it here. Right. I got it in the studio.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be under Pretty Bird, or what's the name of it?
It should be under zero. It should be at the top. Zero Pretty Bird for Man Cave.
Zero. So let me go back to zero. This file is getting ridiculously huge. But I'm complaining. I've got plenty of things to listen to, that's for sure. Okay, we're at the D's. Come down. This is the big file. It's like the S and it's like P. Okay, here we go. Changes of latitude, Gypsies, Zero, Man Kid Morris, Nightmares, One Particle of Harbor. Pretty Bird, Man Cave. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Carnivorous Fish and Ocean Air Memories by Pretty Bird. Salty air lures childhood to the surface, floating with water wings, more afraid of sharks than drowning. Never could say no to a day at the beach. Living down the street from Ocean World, in love with its shark tanks, turned swimming pools into nightmares. Perhaps Jaws at 6 was a bad idea. Fears fade as you learn, until a blimp ride over the shore shows circles of sharks feeding so close to swimmers that you cry in front of your friends at 13. The ocean feels safer each time you swim, as long as you don't think about it. Out of sight means you can pretend it was all in your head. If Gidget can do it, then why not? But paddling out past all sound, the beach seems far enough that you must be in the feeding zone. Who needs to surf at 15 anyway? Sharks are easily seen from a wave runner, but you're not kicking around like bait fish. Can't stay away from them in relative safety, counting them OCD style because they don't swim away from the sound of a motor. Salty air still roars. Out of sight is never out of mind. A part of me still wants to be Gidget. I pet sharks every time I visit the aquarium.
I got this volume right at the end. Yeah, got the volume right at the end. Go ahead, Sid. You have a lot.
Yeah, I like it. Jaws at 6 was a bad idea. That's true. I was too young when I first saw Jaws 2, and I remember having some pretty freaky dreams and even being afraid, even though Lake Erie is fresh water, I'd still get a little freaked out sometimes thinking, you know, Jaws is there.
I guess I was the only warped child.
Yeah, any monster that breathes there. All you need is a badass salamander, man.
Magnolia wine.
So I love Gidget. I got to tell you, even being a guy, I love watching Pollyanna when it comes on, believe it or not. I do Haley Mills.
Uh-huh.
And Gidget. I love watching the old Gidget thing. It's a mindless thing. You just watch the surfers, you know, sort of like where I grew up.
Yeah.
So I admit it. A little Gidget in me.
Actually, I never watched every time.
We all have a little Gidget in us.
What's that?
Don't we all have a Gidget in us? One
I
form
so.
Or another.
A little bit. And it's either Sandra D or Sally Fields. Well, you know, two different things. You know, Sally Fields. I know a lot of guys that when Burt Reynolds was nuts, what did he see in her? I'll tell you what, she was a cute little thing, and I bet she was a huge personality. That must have been attractive to Burt Reynolds, right?
Yes, I always thought she was attractive back in the day.
Yeah,
it was. She looked like my cousin.
Not with a flying nun. Flying nun thing was a little.
Yeah, Sister Butthrill. Yeah, Sister Butthrill. And what was the guy's name? Armando Rejas. He was Carlos, the casino owner.
Yeah,
that was a, what do they call this TV Spencer? What's the group that censors the, controlled the TV back then? Censors?
FCC
or something?
Yeah, FCC.
Yeah, they were being controlled by Aaron Spelling and Gary Marshall. Some pretty wholesome, sickening shows. I mean, and they're really hard to watch now. I don't know about anybody else, but if you run across, see some of those old shows that were prime time back in the day.
Yeah.
They're hard to watch. They're hard to watch now.
I go to a free movie site to watch stuff like that. I'm not going to broadcast the link or anything.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Okay. Checking the studio. We're good. All right. Anybody else have something you want to say comment on the phone? You gotta ask yourself anytime you play Pretty Bird stuff, you push that button, you gotta realize that she faked it one night. Did you know that? I thought it was the coolest thing I ever heard. She faked it. She pretended to be a recording because she was so nervous to be live on the radio. Everybody thought it was a recording. It wasn't.
Oh, wow.
You kind of asked. I heard that. I said, you're kidding. That is brilliant. That's not only the funniest thing, one of the funniest things I've heard. It was, I just thought it was, it made Pretty Bird who she is to me.
See, that's the thing. I might do a recording for Monday's show here on Team of Voices. Uh-huh. After I did my first two recordings, I never did it again. I think Stephen heard them. Yeah, Stephen heard them.
Yeah.
And
I remember being there and being told, I think, in a Sweet Pea that it was part of the ruse or something. I thought we were playing at SoundCloud, and it was Pretty Bird reading. I mean, it was a dead giveaway. I should have tripped. Wait a minute. So you got to ask yourself, anytime Pretty Bird is... And she is not. She might be or might not. Sometimes she does, sometimes she don't.
Yeah, I want to do another recording, but I don't know.
I just thought it was
funny. That's about the only time you'll catch me blushing beet red, you know? Because I got to try to keep a straight face and everything, and I can't do it.
Well, everybody reads too fast at first. It's like...
Yeah.
You're there, you read too fast. You got to remember to slow it down so everybody can follow. Everybody's following you. And it's just easing into it and getting used to it. I remember when Stephen couldn't talk, he was so flustered. He was just, no, I'm going to see. It wasn't that bad.
Hey, you should read my two recordings, Stan.
I learned my lesson when I said, they go, can you read this poem? And it was, I can't remember who it was by, but it had some words I'd never heard of. Sorry. That's what started any big word.
Oh.
People might think I'm illiterate. I'm not. I know big words. It was all a joke from that first couple of times where I got stuck with the encyclopedia of the biggest words.
Yeah, you got frustrated with yourself.
It was just a bad night. And so I started saying, if they went out for me to read it, I said, did you check for any big words? Because I don't do big words.
Yeah.
That's a joke. So I'm not illiterate totally, ladies and gentlemen, not yet.
I always used to get chosen to read them too.
Yeah.
On the radio shows before we were hosts. It seemed like I would always get picked on. Hey, could you read for so-and-so? I'd be like, oh, no.
Well, that's why I always make sure to do audio somewhere so nobody has to read it. Always do an audio.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, always do an audio if you can't call because I started doing audios for mine to make it easier. It makes it easier on people that, you know, are running the show or just participate in that way you don't have to fluster yourself and trying to read and then feel kind of upset with yourself that you didn't do a good read of. That other person's work.
Or to read somebody else's. I always felt bad when I tripped and messed somebody else's up. You know, it surprisingly takes a lot more time than you think to find the poem, load the poem, get everybody straightened away. It loads of, you know, it's remarkable how long it takes to do 5-10 poems. Do you think you can work that out in a couple of minutes? Well, no, you can't. No. SoundCloud is always good because if you write it, you're the only one that can really deliver it because we're up here, we would be reading cold. We had never read it before. We don't know where the pauses of the little inflections and the color should go to make your poem what it is and what it's meant to be. That's why the author should read their own. If not read it, they can make a SoundCloud. That makes it easier for everybody. So yes.
Yes.
It's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Hatter doesn't have to read anymore. That's a win-win for her.
Exactly. And speaking of audios, we have one more poem by R.S. Morris. I put it on the board, and there is an audio clip. There's an audio file in the studio.
It
should be updated. All right?
Yep, got it.
Dreamed of living on the beach. Sounds of waves lapping at the shore. Smell of seaweed, colorful shells. Small beach town, one-room grocery store. Seagulls calling in the distance. Sailboats against rising sun. Banner planes over beach crowds. Squadron of pelicans on a strafing run. Shark fins sliding across waves. Turtles laying eggs on hot sand. Horseshoe crabs with long pointed tails. fighter jet ditching I saw firsthand. Long wooden pier, carnival rides, jugglers and musicians for free, helicopter rides for the wealthy, huge stingrays gliding undersea. Bronze tan bodies glistening, odor of sunscreen fills the air, cotton candy from a horse-drawn carriage, evangelists screaming in loud prayer. Sea mist covering the dunes, cattails swinging in ocean breezes, old lumber beach houses surviving, stressful life this place eases. Tiki huts lighting up night sky, grass skirts swaying back and forth, margaritas, pina coladas clink, swift breezes flowing from the north. Flying all night, finally at home, asleep, but hear water near, naked dude in my carport taking a shower. That's it, I'm out of here.
Not enough.
Oh, Lord.
I wasn't ready for that big ending.
That ending. This ending, stand low. Oh, my God.
That was funny. And that's R.S. Morris. Yeah, thank you, Morris. R.S. That was clever.
Yeah. Indeed.
And that's somebody that has intimate details of knowing about what it's like. What would you say? He's been there before.
I was actually typing a comment out while I was reading it.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of listening and typing my comment, talking about how the imagery took me right to the beach, and all of a sudden he hits me with that naked dude in the carport.
Yeah. Exactly. So you leave it, yeah. Yeah, a squadron of pelicans went right off straight to the run.
Yeah. I like the music in the background.
Perfect. A reggae to it, too. That was the kickball. I was dancing to that bit. Are you okay? Chaba.
Yeah, I saw this video. Get the comments. Kay, what'd you think?
Well, yeah, I thought it was cool. Yeah, the music, and then the way he presented it, it definitely was lyrical. Yeah, the imagery was cool, but the ending, I didn't see that. But that made it even more better because it had its own little zinger. Yeah. So, yeah, there was the humor. It's a great share. Yeah, I'm glad they shared that.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, it's just like that. With everything else, you can list on and on and on, but don't. Nobody knows that your camel's got no more room on its back until that feather on the straw lay on it. I'm out, done. I can't make you guys take a shower in my carpet. I've seen it all.
Poor, poor dude. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that... I got the... What were the little... Hoochie-coochie dolls, the little hula dolls that you put on your dashboard, what were they called? Or you'd win them in prizes at the carnivals. What were they called?
Cupid dolls.
Cupid dolls. Yeah. That's what I got a picture of. Okay. Then you got naked guy and lost in it. Thanks, Morris. You'll have to call in one day if you can and read for us so we can beat you. I would have to, but we could quit reading your stuff, too. No, I'm kidding. You're welcome. You're welcome. Welcome to add to the Bad Cave anytime, Adam. If we do the business, call in. Yeah. See, that's how you do it. Well, Steven, you got the... something you are going to you bring anything to show off with?
Yeah, you did.
I did bring something that I wrote to a Jimmy Buffett song. Yeah, I actually. I put the song that I wrote to the studio too. If you wanted to listen to the song.
Hmm. But.
But.
If you're gonna read that first, I ask you to do one thing for me.
What's that? What do you want me to do?
Plug the mortuary for Monday before you guys get lost in conversation.
Okay. Kay wants me to plug the mortuary, but there is no mortuary on Monday because we're doing a Memorial Day special at the Poetic Slice of Life at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Monday night. Memorial Day rights for veterans.
Honoring the vets.
Yep.
Okay.
Next Saturday will be my show, Horse of Seduction, with Madam Brandy. Pick a number 1 through 11. I'll give you a picture.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's next Saturday, darling.
It's opposite my show. What the hell? No, I'm kidding. Man. Go ahead.
10 to 12.
Hey, do you do sensual or
sensual and seduction, sultry.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, my
favorite subject.
My Saturday.
Yeah.
My
at what time?
On the first Saturday of every month, 10 to midnight. The Coast Notion.
Okay, we stagger an hour. So that's not too bad. You're forgiven.
Well, I think I am going to go. Y'all had fun. Y'all got me giggling over here. I know I shouldn't be doing that.
No. It's all fun. We're all friends.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's all good.
Stop by
Brandy's on Saturday night. And then trip on over to Wonderland. And it's about, and ours Saturday night will be about cobalt blue. What did he say?
Yeah, I got you.
Cobalt blue. Just don't pick any blue. Don't bring any blue. Cobalt blue.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right.
Do we have time? Let's see. What is the time? We got 21:38. That's okay. Are we down to 20 minutes? No. Yeah.
22 minutes.
Okay. And how many do we have to read? One, two more?
No, just mine. And we don't even have to do that if you don't want to.
Okay. Well, you want to listen to should we play a Buffett song? Do that?
Well, yeah, if you want, play the one that I wrote to. It's called One Particular Harbor. It's up there at the top with a zero.
One Particular Harbor.
Right,
whatever the other.
Okay. Good night, Brandy.
Good night, Brandy.
Night,
for
y'all.
Stopping by.
Good night, Brandy.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have fun. Bye-bye.
See you later. So could that be under... I don't see it on the zeros. Something harbor.
So zero man cave, one particular harbor. She's got it written on.
Okay. It is zero. Okay. It is zero. Okay. Go back. Zero. Stop. There it is. Found it. Deb, you're incredible. Found it. You want to lead in? You got anything to lead into it, or you want to just play it?
Just go ahead and play it.
Okay. We're going to that one particular harbor. Take our Caribbean roots with us, huh? You certainly look dressed for the occasion.
I know I don't get there often enough, but God knows I surely try. It's magic kind of medicine that no doctor could prescribe. I used to rule my world from a payphone, ships out on the sea. But now times are rough, oh, I got too much stuff I can't explain the likes of me. But there's this one particular harbor, so far but yet so near, where I see the days as they fade away, finally disappear. But then I think about the good times down in the Caribbean sunshine. In my younger days I was snowbound, laughing about all the fun we've had. I've seen enough to feel the world spin, mixing different roads and beating cousins. Listen to the drummers and the night sound, listen to the singers make the world go.
Yeah.
I guess just rolling some R's now and then, puts the Latin in it, huh?
Actually, that is, I want to actually explain it, because actually the title of my poem is that, the it's actually Tahitian.
Oh.
And it's loosely loosely translated, it means nature lives, love the earth.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's why I butcher the title too, because he sings it so much better.
Yeah.
But it's Laura te natura e me arofa te one.
Nice.
And I wrote about where Kay and I like to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, with this poem, Our Little Harbor. So it goes like this: I truly love the earth and all she has to give. But my favorite part is by the lake in the town that I do live. Take my wife there most every night, watch the waves and eat ice cream. To have a house with this beautiful view has always been my dream. A little park with playground for kids and benches for couples like us. A beach for swimming when it gets hot. The ice cream parlor a plus. It truly is quite peaceful as we watch the sun go down. That is the best place to spend an evening with Kay in our sleepy little town. And poem. You waiting for that?
Yeah. Feel the wind. Feel the wind blowing through the breeze through her hair right there. Yeah. So, maybe as far as like a couple like us, is that what you said? Like, just for adventures for couples like us. Hmm. What's like us?
Yeah. You know, we're not on the swing sets anymore.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. You needed to define that at least one way. Then we'll go. We'll take. No, we're not on the swing sets anymore. That fits. Because they're not made for you. Yeah, guys. Take my wife to the office every night. See, we knew it. We knew it. Cupcakes and, blankets.
Yeah.
Headdress made of flowers.
Yeah. The picture on the poem is actually one of the views that we get when we're at the park having our ice cream.
Oh, isn't that right?
That's the sunset. Yeah, that's the sunset over Lake Erie.
Yeah, they look like oceans.
Yeah,
no. Nobody's ever thought of that before.
Yeah. We get that sometimes. People that come up and visit from the south, they automatically think they're going to be able to see Canada across the lake because it looks
so small
on the map. But no, you can't. Yeah, no, they do. They sometimes some people think.
It's a freaking ocean. They are. They're inland oceans. Don't think they're not.
Yeah.
But, I know. Back when the Earth was doing its thing, being created, and everything. There was a reason that those gorges are. Was it a glacier that?
Yeah.
Was it Superior? A glacier that. I mean, there's some sheer cliff formations underneath the water, isn't it? You got some.
Yeah.
I think it's the Erie or Superior. I think it's Superior.
Yeah, Superior. Superior, I think, is the deepest of them. And Erie is actually one of the more shallow. And that's one thing that people don't understand because Lake Erie is so shallow, it doesn't take much for her to get angry.
Yeah.
And there's actually a pro bass fishing thing contest that came up here, and all these guys with their little bass boats, little skiffs, trying to fish out on Lake Erie. The next day, they were renting locals' boats to do it because Lake Erie just beat the hell out of those bass boats.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I remember that. Sunk. I mean, you can't sink those bass boats, but you can sure swamp them.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit angry. That's a good way of putting that. A lake gets angry. And unless you've been on there in a boat and that happens, you don't get the grasp of it, because I've been there, of a desolation valley. Desolation Valley in the spring and summertime can create its own weather patterns. It, the thunderheads grow out above Desolation Valley like nothing else, and it will tell you how angry. Now, there's three lakes up there, actually four lakes up there that we in Crystal Basin. The wind usually picks up at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock every morning, and blows to about 3 to 4 every day. But sometimes the gale forces will start. And, I mean, my dad and I were towards the dam one time, and we needed to go back, of course, the other way north to get to the campground. I'm looking up towards the other end of the lake. I see white caps. I'm going, Dad, look at that up there, because it's calm. It's calm where we are. And that was moving so fast, that front moving so fast. And we're looking above it, you can start feeling it. All I could do was get around the point. I wasn't going to make it to the campground, but I could surely get out of the bulk of the that weather system. And it was bad. It was so windy and stormy. Birds were being slammed into trees and tents being thrown into the water. It was terrible. But, that's an angry lake. That's an angry lake, man. And I'll tell you, you have to be prepared.
I can remember one time me and my dad and my uncle were fishing. We weren't too far off the shore in my dad's boat at the time. And it was boring. Nothing was biting. And I was actually kind of dozing, but something made me just want to turn around and look. And when I did, I saw white caps heading right towards us, and my dad actually had fallen asleep. So I had to nudge him, and I said, "Yo, Dad, take a look." And he looked, and he's like, "Oh, you know," expletives coming out of his mouth as he tried to crank the boat as fast as he could and turn it into the waves. Oh my gosh, it is really fast.
That one squall we were in on the lake. I mean, you're talking six foot swells. This is not a big lake. This is a reservoir.
Right. There's Lake Road that I usually take home from when we go to the park, and there's a bunch of houses that are right there on the lake. God, I'd love to live in one of them. But on the nights when, like I said, when Lake Erie is angry, Kay's seen it. The way those waves are crashing up into their yards.
Yeah.
It's just, it looks ominous sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the last time I took my my oldest son fishing at the Folsom Lake, I didn't notice. Now, the weather patterns here in Sacramento Valley, the storms will come from west or the south. Once in a great while, we'll have a winter blast from the north, but usually even the cold fronts will circulate between the Diablo Range and the Sierra. So everything is swirling around counterclockwise and shoved up, you know, from the south and west. I didn't notice, because I was going up the South Fork, I didn't notice from the east were these green clouds, and they were low, and I was on the other side of the lake where the South and North Fork are split. I was in the sort of the deep water. And I look up, and I see these things, and what it was a crack of lightning. Thunder and lightning, and there was no delay between the light and the sound. These things were right on top, and there's little green clouds, and they were just looked. The hair stood up on my, could feel the hair stand up on your arms. I'm in an aluminum boat. I mean, it was a tri hull, but I've got an aluminum top. We've got graphite poles. We are about a lightning rod as you could possibly be, and so there was a tree that had been hit many times on the point between the two mouths that come in, and sure shit, that's what that second bolt of lightning hit, and it was on fire, and I had to pass it 100 yards away from it. So I'm gone, beelining it up to the next meadow that I can get into, and I tell my son, get down low. He said, we'll get on the shoreline, just run up that hill. He goes, "Oh, we'll be by the tree." And I go, "No, stay away from the tree." And it's raining. It started to rain pouring. Didn't even reel in our lines. I just, as fast as I could get away, ran that boat clear up on that grass. And I tell you what, that was, I was I was fighting for my boy and me for I was going to get home and my wife was going to kill me. I never saw that storm come in. You know, usually you have a warning. You're looking for the car. You're looking for assistance. But of course, the mountain, the hill I was close to or parallel in was the east side. And I wasn't worried anything from coming from the east. But yeah, green skies, green clouds. You know something's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Green's not a good sign at all.
No. So I guess that's just if you're in the ocean, back in the day, if you didn't ever want to see green water, green waves. What it meant was oxygenated by a hurricane or a bad storm that's already been through and you're about to go through. So green waves in the ocean was not a good thing. Or green to it. It's more oxygenated. Well, we've got less than 2 minutes, so I want to thank everybody for calling and participating with the show, The Man Cave. Kay, Brandy, Sky, thank you. Budo, Lady A, for contributing. Morris, thank you for writing. Steven, a pleasure to run into you every month. We'll have a you get the name next week or next month.
For June. Yeah, well, I was just thinking about what you were talking about, Hatter. Why not we go with spooky or alien? Yeah. Spooky aliens.
Spooky aliens.
Yeah, we'll be a little more prepared because I had some great stories on some of these sites. Yeah. 2020, there was more to do to 2020 than a pandemic and release of alien footage. There was a lot going on. Everybody's carrying a camera, a very good camera, too, usually, these phones that we have. So these things that people say, I saw this, nobody believes it. Now they got it on film.
Yeah.
They're on tape. Yeah. It's on the Internet, man. And explain it now. So, yeah, Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks for bringing Mrs. Nemesis. Thank you. You guys are always fun to be with.
Of course. Hey, Deb told me that you want a cheeseburger in paradise put in there. She said it's underneath Stephen Cheeseburger in Paradise, if you wanted to close with that. If not...
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. It's under Stephen. I got to go clear the other side. Come on.
Yeah.
And my little cool. Here we go. I wish that, you know, when the search thing, that little search glass above the files, but it's working, it's great. But now I try using it, it kicks me out. Okay, my scroller quit. My scroller quit. Glass, all right, let me remote. Yeah. We have Blood Moon just passed. We'll get another one till 2024. Do we have the Indy 500 this coming weekend? This weekend?
I don't know.
I think we do. Let me make sure though before.
I think the trials were last week. I'm sure. I think.
500 is. Come on now. Watching the thing go by really slow here. May. Yes.
Oh, it is.
Yes,
this weekend.
Yep, this weekend.
How about that?
Cool. Yeah, they're back up there with some very fast primes where physics takes over, and they're driving actually on rockets on wheels with foils that keep them pressured to the ground to keep them from flight. That's dangerous.
Right.
And I think that number is between 215 and 220 miles an hour, where you become a rocket. Well, the NASCAR drivers demanded something change. They wanted the restrictors put back on the team because they were going 220 miles an hour or approaching it, and that's too fast. That's too dangerous. Tracks aren't made for that.
Yeah.
And my scroller's not working. I can't scroll down, gosh darn it. I don't know why. I refreshed twice. So don't have a whole lot to offer.
If you want,
maybe if I play something.
At the top, you can play. There was a song I wanted you to listen to if you wanted to. It's called Morris's Nightmare.
That's funny.
From Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's at the top of, under Zoo Man Cave Morris's Nightmare. That's just a suggestion, though.
Is it under zero?
Yeah.
Okay. I just refreshed again, see if I scroll over here. Okay. Okay, changes in latitude. Thank you. That's
there should be
any. Above that. Okay. Doo-doo. Okay. Mars, I was. Scroll it along. There we go. One particular harbor. It'll be right there, but I can't. Scroll is not working. Gosh darn it.
What changes in latitude to work too? That's Buffett.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Okay, got a little bit. Pretty bird, Morris, doorbell, Eddie Griffin. Remind me again, it's under
zero. It should be Zero Man Cave Morris.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not zero.
Oh, okay. I thought the, okay. Here we go.
Nope. That's the poem again.
Dreamed of living.
Yes, RS,
yeah. Yeah, that's zero RS. It should be Zero Man Cave Morris.
Okay, here we go.
This is another new song we'd like to do for you now. It tells the story of a lovely cruise ship couple. You know, in November, the snowbirds started heading south down here, and you've seen them be with the matching belt and shoes, condo commandos, you know. So, hey, that's good shit. I smell it. All right. We better start this song before I get hungry. This is called Morris's Nightmare. Down in the islands where the happy folks stay, everybody do what Bawana Jim say. He say it's okay. You can do what you wanna, do what you like. Twist a big old number, ride a motorbike. It's alright, it's alright. Dance to the drum, drink a lot of rum. Love till you come to a stop. Swing like a monkey in a coconut tree. Sing like the dolphins in the deep blue sea.
You can sleep when you get home.
I'm sorry, it's like Mars, you can sleep.
you wanna do what you like.
That was a storm, man. You guys are going to have to stay. Can't leave. The bridge is out.
The bridge is out?
Yep. Oh. All right, guys. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Wonderland Productions, Man Cave, ATLV. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Good night. Cheeseburgers and pizza!